And I hope you all have a great weekend, by the way. I'll be in Boulder, Colorado, doing our Beyond Belief television programs, and then I'll be popping right back to St. Louis. But I hope you enjoy yourself, and stay safe, folks. Stay safe. Let's go to the phones. Let's start by going to David in Mardella Springs, Maryland. Welcome to the program. Hi, David.
How you doing, George? Thanks for taking my call.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm calling about... I heard on the internet where Trump, Dr. Fauci, stated in 2017 that during Trump presidency that this virus was going to come out, real bad virus. Have you heard about that?
That is absolutely true. Absolutely true. He was speaking to a group. It was on YouTube. It was 2017, and he predicted a pandemic during this administration. That's how specific he got. It was weird, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Sound like they knew it was coming.
Somebody did. Absolutely. Thanks, David. Appreciate it. Yeah, it's a strange thing. He was talking to a group of, I guess, infectious disease folks, and he said, mark my word, and this was in 2017 when he was speaking, he says, during this administration, there will be a pandemic we're going to have to deal with. Look at that. I mean, my gosh. Of course, our guest earlier this week, Dr. Judy Mikovits and Kent, said that he had funded the Wuhan lab. And there was a story just yesterday that the Wuhan lab was funded by the U.S. and Canada. Did not say specifically who in those countries did it, but said that those countries did it. Let's go to Joe in Boston. Welcome to the show. Hey, Joseph.
Hey, George, how you doing? Thanks for
good. How are you feeling these days?
I'm very upset. This whole thing is crazy. Got a couple questions and a comment. Judy Mikovits, I can't reach her because I'm visually impaired, as you know. Is there any way to get a copy of her book, get her email? And then my other thing is about this. People think I'm crazy when I say the country should be open. We have 20 million people up here. Is there any way they can get this Fauci out? Because you don't go making predictions like that. He knew that this was up. And and tell me why they arrested Judy. I read her biography, and they arrested her. It's in the Wikipedia. Did they try to accuse her of something?
Yeah, they tried to accuse her of some kinds of malfeasance and things like that. But she's a strong one. She's a fighter, and she's sparking on. The only one who can really remove Fauci is the president. I heard rumors that he was thinking of doing it, but he hasn't done it yet. He's in a very precarious situation. He's in a really bizarre situation right now where anything he does, if it's the wrong thing, and I don't know if there's a right move in this thing, it could cost him his reelection. It's already the poll numbers are beginning to show that his popularity is going down, 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 down. Something dramatic has to happen here. But this thing is so confusing. Marie in Los Angeles, welcome to the program. Hi, Marie.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
I just a huge thank you. I'm honored to speak to you tonight. I've learned so much from the show back to when I would say goodnight to my mom in the mid-90s, and she'd fall asleep to the radio, and I'd be, who are you listening to? And she'd say, oh, it's Art Bell. I believe it was the mid-90s. And
yeah,
just an amazing wealth of information over the years. You've covered a lot, and one thing I just wanted to bring up, and just, again, grateful to be able to be here and talk about this, but I'm a certified licensed stenographer, state of California. You know, we're known as the guardians of the record. Somebody goes in to give an oral deposition or in the courtroom setting, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that's being looked upon differently or potentially being changed is how witness testimony is going to be handled in civil litigation. And if anybody's ever seen the series Cyber War on Hulu, excuse me, I'm a little bit nervous. There's a episode called Hacked by China, and
right.
There's just a lot of there's a lot of problems. Technology is very useful, incredibly, but you know, attorneys advocate, judges and juries have their job. You know, news reporters and journalists, summarize that kind of thing, but a stenographer, a court reporter, you know, we document what actually happens. We take care of the record. This is what happens. This is what is said. And just a quick bout, you know, going back in history, the late Vivian Spitz was one of the youngest machine stenographers to report the Nuremberg trials. And she wrote the book Doctors from Hell, which is available on Amazon. And, you know, we're attracted to this profession because we, you know, we want to protect the witness's testimony. We want to protect the record. There's actually a shortage of us, you know, in the world. We're worldwide. And, you know, to some degree, we're a little bit under attack. And like I tell my kids when I take them care packages to San Diego, and I always think of Thomas when I drive down there. You know, unless we're going to walk around with GoPros, you know, on our heads, you know, in the future, you know, it costs a lot to defend a lawsuit. And there's already lawsuits and attorneys lining up. And attorneys have a valid job to do. I'm not negating that.
I get it. Yeah.
But there's a lot of activity in the litigation field that's going to also come from this COVID-19.
I mean, it just permeates every area, doesn't it? It just doesn't seem to stop.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, again, just, yeah, it's in all facets of this country, and I'm sure of other countries. But, you know, in the face of, you know, administrators in our court systems and in our stores and our grocery stores, first responders, everything, you know, certainly health and safety is first and foremost. But also, you know, behind the scenes, I'm sure that there's, you know, there's parameters so that people hopefully avoid the potential for, unfortunately, a lawsuit. And that's just a reality. Could I give maybe a couple websites if
yep.
people are curious?
Sure, go ahead.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Number one, NCRA, which is the National Court Reporters Association. They are a participant also with the Veterans History Project. So if there's any veterans out there that have not recorded their oral history and they would like to preserve it, certainly, you know, those things are transcribed and they go into the Library of Congress. That's NCRA. And then also in California, there's something that we're trying to do to protect witness testimony, which is the website is stopthesocalstip.com. And that STIP as in stipulation, and it relates to, you know, the best way to protect your testimony if anybody's ever a witness in a deposition and how it's best protected, because people can go in and modify a PDF, you know, anybody can do that. Our teenagers can do that these days.
They sure can. Well, okay. Well, good luck, Marie. I hope everything works out for you and you get some traffic on those websites. Joe in the Bronx, welcome to the show. Hey, Joseph.
How you doing, George?
Wonderful, thanks.
Great show tonight. I just wanted to ask your opinion on something. What do you think the possible, maybe even military implications will be against China for allowing this virus to spread all around the world? And whether it's intentional or was intentional or accidental, it doesn't really make a difference. I mean, they allowed it. They didn't say anything about it. There was a silence about it, and they knew it, and they allowed it to spread.
Well, and I think they knew about it. They knew about it way longer than we think they did, and they still said nothing about it. You know, this thing happened way before December, way before.
Right. So what do you think the implications will be between the U.S. and China, if any?
That's a good question. I mean, the big question is, if any. I mean, we're going to slap tariffs on them again. That's not going to hurt. I don't know. This is, and the problem is, if we funded the lab, what's the collusion here? Why would we do that? I mean, don't we have our own viral labs that we could fund ourselves? Why would you fund a Chinese lab in a communist country? It doesn't make sense. And they say Canada did it too. I mean, these are things that eventually we need to get to the bottom with, but we may never, ever get to the bottom. Hal's with us now, first-time caller in Somerset, Kentucky. Hi, Hal. Welcome to the program.
Hey, can you hear me good?
Yes, sir. Sure can.
Yeah, I came out to the van. I get better reception out here. listen, the reason why I'm calling is there's a couple things I want to say. Now, all the countries in the world is pretty much shut down. I mean, some might be going more than others.
That's right. That's
but,
right.
But the pollution in the air is a lot less. It's giving Earth a chance to rebuild herself.
That's true.
And animals are coming out that never been out before, stuff like that.
Earthquakes. Earthquakes are at a minimum.
Right. It's like, you know, we were really destroying this Earth with all the pollution and filth we were putting out there. And now, all of a sudden, it came to a dead stop. Reminded me of a movie I saw back in the 70s. But anyway, I was going to talk to you about the asteroids. Now, some gentleman was on there just earlier from Columbus. And you had a guest on there about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Thought it was kind of funny that first the virus hits, and now we got this asteroids coming. And supposedly Trump had sent a general and some people down into a bunker out in Colorado who's already in there locked down just in case or something. I thought that was kind of weird.
Strange timing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And now the first asteroid on the 29th of April this month, and I think it's only supposed to be as big as a two-story house. But the second one was supposed to be as big as Saturn or something like that. And now he said it was broken up or something. And now they don't know where it's going to go.
And they're still pretty good chunks, too.
Yeah. And before it wasn't going to hit. But now, you know, that makes you wonder. So, and I'm a firm believer in aliens and outer space. Would they protect us or something like that? Because I watch Ancient Aliens and all that stuff. And they think the moon is a base, you know, it's hollow and all that stuff. It rang for about an hour when they sent the lunar back down there to hit the ground and stuff like that. It was kind of strange. And I'm like you, I don't wear a mask, and I see a lot of people out here really getting, you know, serious about this. But I just want to know your opinion on this as far as the asteroids goes.
Well, you know, we have asteroids zooming by this planet all the time, and these, I do not believe, are going to hit us. They'll come close. The concern, of course, is the Earth's gravity pulling them in. But I think these two will be okay. There's some others around 2036, Apophis, for example, that we need to be more concerned about. But, you know, I always have said that it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. Asteroids have hit this planet before, and they're going to hit them again. And let's just hope that if one does, it's a small one, plops in the middle of the ocean, and we don't get a huge tsunami from it. Let's go to Mike in Livermore, California, our old friend. Hey, Michael.
Well, hello, George. Peace be with you, brother. I hope you're all safe and sound.
So far, I hope you are, too, and your family as well.
Yeah, everybody's doing fine. I'm one of my brothers. My youngest brother passed about a month ago, but it wasn't anything to do with the virus.
Sorry to hear that. How old was he?
He was 56.
Oh, that's too young.
Like I said, he's about 6 years younger, six, seven years younger than me.
What did him in, though, Mike?
Cancer.
Oh,
he
God.
Had, on his larynx, he suffocated to death in his sleep.
Oh.
So...
Horrible way to go.
The worst of it was my mother, who we know you've donated to her food bank a few times.
Yep, I remember that.
she was the one who found him, and that was the saddest part of it, was that she had to find her baby.
No. I mean, parents never want to have their kids go before them.
No. Anyway, George, this whole thing about this COVID-19, everybody's, as usual, and this is the way they want it, the globalists, the media, and everything. Everybody's concerned about the who and the what. The who, of course, was China. God, I mean, in January, I knew it was China did this. But and then the what is the pandemic itself and how the media can overblow it and everything else. We could all go into a long discussion about this. But I'm more concerned about the why. Why are they doing this? What is the reason behind it? You never let a crisis go by without capitalizing on it, as we all know.
Well, and you have to ask yourself, who benefits?
Okay, well, I think where we're leading is it's coming down to the testing. once you're tested and you're cleared, you can go back to work. And then it's going to be, oh, you're cleared to fly. Oh, you're cleared to go across borders, state borders. You're cleared to go into a football game. It's about control. So let's not have another 9/11 happen to us in the Patriot Act where we lost all of our liberties in the total surveillance state. Let's keep our eyes on where they're going with this. And one person I can recommend that people look up is James Colbert, C-O-R-B-E-T-T. He has a podcast, The Colbert Report. Check him out. He's got it nailed. And this guy does his research, and he footnotes everything.
And watch him give us a tattoo with a 666 on it.
Yeah, well, that's another uh-huh. show, isn't it?
That could be. Michael, thanks. Sorry about your brother's passing. Let's go to Marie in Bedford, Texas. Welcome to the program. Hi, Marie.
Hi, George. I'm a little nervous, but I am a proud American, and God bless to be a Texan. But thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
I just wanted to say a few things. Bear with me because I've been thinking about all this stuff and things don't make sense. But then you can give me your opinion, but I'll go through them really fast for you.
Okay.
One, I was going to save the last one, but I think I'm going to put it first because I think maybe then the others will make sense. But I was sitting there wondering, how is it that you have all this quietness? You don't have the gangbangers in Chicago, anybody shooting people and killing daily, how many murders we had. And you're going to tell me that they can behave. And, you know, I mean, it's just strange. And there's no shootings. There's no weather. It's like all this stuff has stopped. And it makes me wonder, has somebody been orchestrating all the chaos? Because we've kind of, it's kind of exposed their hand, showing us that we can live peaceably. But the other way, it's also telling me that before the quarantine, were people being paid to do this stuff, to orchestrating, like I said, HAARP, or people being paid to, you know, the gang shootings and everything and stuff. But that was my first point. The second one was, I think a lot of this stuff is happening because of the fact that the MAGA rallies, the Trump rallies, they didn't really like that. And then the fact that, no pun intended, but it was infectious to where you started seeing the yellow jackets. You started seeing, you know, uprise from people, mm-hmm. the Hong Kong protests. And to me, it almost seems like China was complicit with whoever, and then every other country became complicit, like, you know, whoever's in control of deep state. But this would benefit them to shut it down and shut the rallies down, shut everything down.
Well, it sure did. You don't hear anything about the Hong Kong protesters anymore at all. But in terms of the gang shootings and stuff, it does seem like crime has taken a momentary lapse and has stopped for a while. That's not going to stay that way much longer, because if we stay out of work, if we shut down this country much longer, we're going to have problems. I mean, just a little protest in Michigan a couple days ago, that was nothing compared to some of the things that could happen in it's very, very dangerous indeed. So you need to be very, very, very careful. Don't forget to follow us on YouTube at our YouTube channel. It's Coast to Coast AM Official. Sign up for that. It's free to sign up. You can do that simply by going to YouTube in the search bar, put in Coast to Coast AM Official, and sign up for that. Like us on Facebook. Definitely follow us on Twitter. We send out little notes and messages every day, so become part of that as well. Pick up our free Coast Zone newsletter delivered right to your computer every morning after the show. So do that. We're going to come back and talk about tarot cards in a moment. The mystery of the tarot. It came from ancient wisdom, and nobody does it better than our dear friend Art Rosengarten. Listen in.
We just need to really mellow out.
We really do.
There's just so much negativity and so much pressure in the culture right now that I think it's just feeding this kind of mass anxiety. And maybe that's part of what you know, I'll be talking about tonight with the tarot, because tools like tarot cards, believe it or not, are very, very helpful for remembering who we are and letting go of all of the beliefs and programming and constructions and opinions and cultural biases and all of that. It's a way of suspending all of that stuff and taking a deep breath and receiving through images, through pictures that come to us from really a mysterious place.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows the origin of the tarot cards, to tell you the truth. We know some things about it. Ultimately, the tarot is a mystery. We know that it descends from ancient mystery schools and ancient wisdom that has been called the perennial philosophy. But there is something universally relevant for everyone in the tarot.
How far back have we been able to track the tarot?
1390, I believe, is the earliest evidence. 1420 is the first full deck that we know about in the Italian Renaissance. But no one knows who the first designer was, actually. And I really like that. I think it's part of what tarot is. Ultimately, it comes from the human imagination.
Maybe it was given to us from above, huh?
From above or from beyond?
Or below.
below or within. And, you know, I'm a Jungian psychologist, so within is the place that I look.
Let's explain tarot to people who probably know what it looks like, but they might not know exactly what it is.
Right. It's a tool for self-exploration. It comes out of the Italian Renaissance. It was not brought to Europe by the gypsies, as is often misinformed. Actually, the gypsies came quite a bit after the first tarot decks started to emerge in Italy and Spain, other places in Europe. It is a deck of cards, in some ways it's not clear which came first, the playing cards or the tarot cards, actually. If you think of a standard set of playing cards, that is equivalent roughly to what's called the minor arcana of the tarot. The tarot has an additional 22 cards. That is called the major arcana. And these are the cards that people commonly think of when they think of tarot cards. You know, they have the magician,
right?
And
old pictures,
world card, and the fool, and the wheel of fortune, and things like that.
And death.
Your favorite card, George?
Yes, it is. Favorite because I'm fascinated by it.
I know you are. And it is. It is an extremely beautiful card, the death card, as is the devil card and the tower. Usually three cards which people think are the most uncomfortable cards of the major arcana. But every card in the tarot deck has a positive and negative aspect. And the modern tarot, which is really my forte, has really moved since, it became very occult-oriented in the 19th and early 20th century in England with the Society of the Golden Dawn, and that's where the modern tarot really was birthed with the Waite deck, the Arthur Waite deck, the Rider-Waite tarot. And what happened then was very exciting in the world of tarot, in that for the first time, the minor arcana, which are like playing cards, a deck of playing cards, each one of the pips, or the minors, were finally illustrated with rich, dynamic pictures that tell a story. Before that time, only the majors, only the, if you pardon the expression, trump cards.
Mm-hmm. we're going to talk about that.
Yes,
trump
you're right.
Card.
But only those had pictures that you could actually just look at directly and get an impression of and kind of just kind of get a sense of what was going on there. The miners before the 20th century just had geometric design. So if there are four suits, you know, like hearts, clubs, diamonds, and what's the other one?
Spades,
right? Those are equivalent to the tarot suits of cups, swords, pentacles, and wands. And all of those minor cards just had geometric shapes on them. So if it was a seven of cups, there would be just a picture of seven chalices on it, say. And that's all you had to go by. Now, there is a very rich and dynamic image that goes with the meaning of that card. And there are probably 600 or 700 new and different tarot decks today out on the market, but they all pretty much follow the basic tarot convention, so that it doesn't really matter which deck you're using, and some are very out there. Even my deck is pretty out there,
yeah.
Tarot the Ninth.
Yeah, you came up with your own, didn't you?
Yes, correct. But it's the same archetype. So, you know, a card is, you know, the card has an image, and the idea is that with an archetype is virtually inexhaustible, but it's only known through an image or an archetypal image. So, like Joseph Campbell wrote a great book called the 10,000 Names of the, I can't even remember what book I'm referring to, but the idea is, it's late, George.
It is late. I love it, though.
But the idea is that every archetype, like, say, the chariot, or the hero with a thousand faces, or whatever the name of that book is, can be illustrated in many, many ways. There's no one image that describes an archetype. So that lends itself to artistic interpretation. So tarot is also a richly interesting visual art, and different tarot decks emphasize different aspects of the archetype. But it's the same archetype, or it's the same principle. And when we talk about the archetypes in a Jungian sense, with tarot, we're talking about a special group of archetypes. And these are called what Carl Jung, the great Swiss, you know, psychologist and philosopher, et cetera, called the archetypes of transformation.
The Hero with a Thousand Faces.
But it's the archetypes of transformation is what the major arcana of the tarot is. That means these are the images or the archetypes that are all about spiritual transformation, and not in a religious sense, but more in a sense of destiny of the human being, the completion or the wholeness of what it is to be a human being, that is believed actually to be hardwired in the brain, and that through evolution we have been unconsciously playing out or following certain blueprints, certain basic, what it, you know, you could say psychological instincts for what the human destiny and human evolution is about, and where it's headed, and what it looks like when it's completed. In other words, it no longer needs to evolve. It has realized its destiny. So in a way, the tarot gives us an incredible opportunity to recalibrate so that we're now in line with the deep, deep blueprints of what it means to be a human being.
Is it a predictor, Art?
Good question. You know, that's a controversial question. I don't think so, myself. I think it's more a reflector. But you can predict some things, but one of the problems with prediction from where I come from is, I don't believe that the future exists.
We're in the present, right?
Power of now guy.
Yeah.
Right? And it's all happening now. It's all here.
Interesting take.
Yeah, the future is a construct. And so when we talk about prediction, we're looking at possibilities that are happening in the present moment. So, and that way it predicts.
When we talked about the death card, I've learned from you since that it doesn't necessarily mean one is going to die.
I beg to differ.
You think now it means someone's going to die?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, you know what?
See, I always thought it was maybe death of a relationship or
It could be that too. But you know what, George? Everybody's going to die.
Yes.
Sooner or later, everybody's going to die. So, of course, it means someone's going to die. It doesn't say when. So I remember you once asked me, Art, you said, if I get the death card, does that mean I'm going to die? And I said, absolutely, yes.
and then you elaborated, but we don't know when.
But that's true with all the cards in the tarot.
Well, why would somebody pull the card if they weren't going to die immediately?
Well, it's a great question, and my answer is because, as the Buddhists say, death is certain, but the time of death is unknown.
Right.
So, in keeping with, say, the Tibetan Book of the Dead, the understanding of being aware of the reality of death and living each moment as if it were your last moment in a way, or the only moment, is a useful way of recalibrating your mind. And so it's a part of reality. It's nothing to be afraid of. It's not all that pleasant to think about either, but it's just part of the existential reality of being human. And all these cards, most every card in the tarot really, though, directs you or points you to spirituality, being more, it's, you know, every reading at the end of the day says, get more in touch with your spirituality, get more in touch with your consciousness, and be more aware of the now. That's what the tarot essentially says every time.
Well, it's an incredible tool, to be sure. Now, you teach people how to read the tarot as well, don't you?
Yes.
How long does it take somebody to really master
it? Well, that's a good question also. You know, I actually was certified in California to teach helping professionals, psychologists and marriage counselors, et cetera, the tarot for psychological use and getting a continuing education credit. So, I teach seminars, and then I teach my ongoing tarot circles where I teach all kinds of people, anybody who's really interested. Now, to answer the question, how long? Well, it's a lifelong process of growing and learning, but the first step is mastering every card in the deck. Now, the deck has 78 cards. And you also will have to master the reversals, so that's 156.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden, and I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware. But now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living in, whatever century. Your voice is always welcome here on my radio. Call in with your space transmitter or your telephone. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, see a ghost. Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast.
For Dan Galanti, Gina Salvati, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasor, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, Tim Benald, George Knapp, and Ian Punnett, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.